I don't want to do that. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Glory to God. If he gets any better, we ain't going to be able to stand it. But try us, Lord. Try us, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. I don't know if it was the extra hour of sleep or maybe that hour of prayer we spent this morning. Hallelujah. I'd say prayer, but sleep might have helped a little, you know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise his mighty name. Well, you ready to give to God this morning? Amen. Anybody need an offering envelope? Raise your hand. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise.
At the altar.
Hallelujah.
I run to rest.
Praise you, mighty God.
Where I wait.
Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We thank you for seed we sow in your kingdom. We thank you, Father. We take that seed and we place it in the hand of a mighty God, that you will honor it and you will expand that seed and use it to expand your kingdom. Father, you'll call the harvest back to this earth. For that, we give you glory and honor this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name.
I am cleansed, I am washed, I am sanctified, I am Holy Ghost filled, and water baptized, I am right with my God for all time, 'cause Jesus with the mercy of the Lamb and the bread.
Glory, glory, glory.
to God. Well, you got a double portion this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, I'm ready. I'm good. I can go home. Amen. Turn me to Psalms 33. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have you ever known in your life, have you ever faced a moment in your life where you came to a crossroads where you had to make a decision? Huh? I've been there. And there's been several times in my life I've made decisions that were void of the wisdom of God's word. Amen. Am I the one? Me and Charles David. Hallelujah. You know, it didn't always turn out the best. Amen. However, God is good. Amen. I had a man that I worked with many years ago, and he contacted me. We're friends now on Facebook, and he asked me how I was doing. And I said, I'm doing well. He's a Christian, so he got this. I said, God's just been amazing. Amen. And you know, even in your lowest moments, I think you can look at your life and you can say, God has been amazing. Amen. Amen. Now let me reel that into my message. You know, in America, on our worst day, we can still look back at our history and say, God has been amazing to the United States of America. Amen. But we do find ourselves right now at a crossroads in America. Amen. So let's pray and we'll get into God's word. Glory to God. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you for your word, what it means to us. And Father, as we study your word today, we ask you to anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, our Messiah, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Psalms 33. You know, there are some so-called prophets, you know, who believe that America is not mentioned in the biblical text. So they believe that, you know, that here coming down the pike, it's all going to be bad. And that America, because she's not mentioned in Bible prophecy, although I think we can make a pretty good case that she is, okay, that America is going to be destroyed or won't be what God originally created her to be. You know, it's like the army? Join the army, be all that you can be. Is that their slogan? Be all that you, they got pointing his finger, Uncle Sam. Be all that you can be. So I think America, we are at a crossroads, but I think we will be all that God intended us to be. Amen. Verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Now I'm going to stop right here. I haven't done this for a long time, but you've seen this 100 times in this church. What does it mean when you see Lord in four capital letters in your Bible? Amen. It's the most holy name of God. In Hebrew, you pronounce it Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. But remember, at some point in Jewish history, to maintain one of the Ten Commandments that said not to take the Lord's name in vain, they quit pronouncing it out loud. So even though it's written in Hebrew like this, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, okay? They won't pronounce it. They'll say Adonai, which means Lord, okay? However, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Rejoice in Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the all-powerful, creative, covenant-keeping God. Remember what this stands for? All the symbols in Hebrew all letters have symbols. There's a hand, right? There's breath, right? There's a nail. and another breath. Okay? Now, this hay also can be a window. Like you're looking out, you're getting revelation, you're seeing something. Or it can mean breath, wind. But in the most holy name of God, it says you are created by the hand of God. God breathed life into you. Amen. Notice the nail comes all the way down. The wisdom of God came down to earth incarnate in the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. And now he breathes the Holy Spirit into you. New life. Amen. All that in one little four-letter name. Amen. So when the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord, that's not somebody got a title. That's the all-powerful, creative, covenant-keeping God. That's Yahweh, as we say in English. Now look what he says. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Are you righteous this morning? Now wait a minute. Your righteousness, the Bible says, was as filthy rags. Oh, but here's the good news. He, Jesus, was without sin. He was the spotless Lamb of God, without spot or wrinkle, amen, without a blemish. And he's seated right now at the right hand of God. And the Apostle Paul, he uses the term over and over, you are in him. So spiritually, physically, you're right here at 801 South 5th Street in Ironton, Ohio this morning. But spiritually, you are seated in a high place in Messiah Jesus, in his righteousness. So you can say, I will rejoice in the Lord my God this morning because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. So what should the righteous do? Be sad? Be mad? Be angry? No, rejoice. Amen. Glory to God. Now that was a message in half a verse. Watch what he says. For praise from the upright is beautiful. Man, it's getting tougher out there. And we're getting closer to November 3rd. Here, I thought everybody was excited about my birthday. But I guess somebody decided to have an election on my birthday. How about that? Just for me, Debbie said. Just for me. That comes from a woman that has a birthday month, by the way. Okay. Not a birthday, but we celebrate a birthday month at our house with her. So somebody decided to have an election on my birthday. And so, you know, things are they're getting really kind of tense. Can we say that? Would that be a word? I mean, I think if you went to Washington, D.C., you could probably cut it with a knife. Huh? But the Bible says, praise from the upright is beautiful. Glory to God. We are righteous because of what Jesus did. Therefore, we are to rejoice and praise him. And the Bible says the praise of this righteous man or woman is beautiful in the eyes of God. Amen. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You know, I read that verse this week. And I thought about how last week we saw a lot of people saying how bad everything was. Huh? I mean, I'll tell you what, that some of that stuff make a man want to go out and cut his wrist. We might as well throw in the towel. It's so bad. But my Bible says that the earth is full of his goodness. It doesn't say it's full of Democrat or Republican goodness. It says it's full of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Just to clear that up for you. Where did I leave off? Oh, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. I want to go back to verse 8. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Do you know why we have such things as abortion, same-sex marriage, and that kind of stuff? Because they don't stand in awe of God. Do you know why we have things that, like taking prayer out of school, prayer out of the public square? Because we don't fear God. We don't stand in awe of God. What's that mean? We don't respect God. We don't respect his word. And I'm going to tell you something, because I'm going to read a little bit about our founding fathers here in a minute. Our founding fathers stood in awe of God, and they respected God's word. And maybe some of them weren't even Christians, but they all respected the word of God. Amen. Amen. They all stood in awe of God. Let me keep going. Verse 10, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. Can I tell you something? There's a group that wants to make us a one world order. Group of nations want to do that. And I got a whole teaching on God and nations. Because in Acts, the Bible says that God sets the boundaries for a nation. God is a nation builder. How dare you try to tear those nations down? I think God's keeping score. Pretty sure of it. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. Oh, God. Bring their plans to no effect. Amen. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Now here's a verse. I read all that to get to this verse. Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. The people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Do you know what? God chose the children of Israel as his own inheritance. Amen. And he's blessed them. Amen. And I believe that God chose the United States of America and the people in it as his inheritance. And we have been blessed because of that. Amen. We got to read the rest of the chapter. We'll come back to that verse. The Lord looks from heaven and he sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. Now watch. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Can I say something to you? If your heart's full of fear and anguish and bitterness and hurt, You're not rejoicing, or you're not trusting in him. Did you notice he says that no king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. You know, horses pulled chariots. Horses carried soldiers. A horse was a symbol of strength and power. See, you know, there's people on both sides of the aisle that think America's going to hell in a handbasket if something doesn't change. If they don't vote in a Republican, the Republicans think if we don't vote in a certain Republicans, America's going to hell in a handbasket. Democrats think if they don't vote in a Democrat, America's going to hell in a handbasket. But can I tell you something? You got to vote your moral conscience. You got to vote according to the word of God, but your trust is not in a donkey or an elephant. It is in Almighty God. America will survive or fall based on God and God alone. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now that we covered all that, I want to go back to verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Can we say America has been blessed? We're almost 250 years old. We are the most blessed nation in the world. We are the greatest economic and military power in the world. There's not a nation in this world that has not received America's benevolence. Amen. Glory to God. God had a reason to raise up America. Of course, you've heard me say it before. You know, I want you to look at America's destiny real quick. Remember, God, I've said this 100 times here lately, but I'm going to say it one more time because it fits. We might have a new viewer online, okay? God promised Israel, I'm going to destroy you because you've turned your back on me. And he did. Amen. And you know, God never restored Israel until he first made America great. Amen. Until he first built America, that's when he started rebuilding Israel, because America has been Israel's greatest ally from the beginning. Amen. Although there were a bunch of them in Truman's cabinet that didn't want anything to do with a war in the Middle East. And you can't really blame them, because we came out of World War I, we hopped right into World War II, you know, so America was pretty much battle weary. Okay? But thank God, Truman backed Israel. Israel declared their statehood on May 14th, 1948, but nobody else acknowledged it until Truman sent out his letter that he acknowledged the state of Israel. Amen. And from that point on, God has been restoring the nation of Israel. You think about it. Think about it for a minute. Think about it. World War I. Now, if you read European history will tell you that the British and the French had the Germans on the run. That's not really true. It wasn't until America got involved that war turned around. And even though FDR was sending money and sending boats and sending cannons and weapons to the British, to the Allies, the war never turned around until those American boys gave their life and shed their blood on the beaches of Normandy. And from that point on, that war began to turn around. So what I'm saying is, God had a plan for America. Now look, if God hadn't raised up an America, there wouldn't have been a giant for the Japanese to wake up to jump in that war to spare the Jewish people. They may have all been annihilated. I'm telling you, America has a destiny and a purpose. And we are directly tied to the nation of Israel. And you ought to say, amen, Pastor. Because my Bible says in Joel chapter 2 that God is restoring Israel, and when he's restored everything that the cankerworm and the locust has eaten, he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams, and your old men will see visions. I had a dream the other night. Puts me in the young man category. Just kidding. I'm only kidding. Come on, dreams. Come on, dreams. Make me feel good about myself. Amen. So America has been great because of God. Amen. And because our foundation was a godly one. Let me read you a little bit about our founding fathers. It was May of 1776 when the Second Continental Congress had convened in Philadelphia, when a tall, lanky 44-year-old Virginian named Richard Henry Lee stood up. And he said, I think we need to pass a resolution declaring that we should be separate from British rule. Man, that was like treason to the crown, say something like that. That declaration would state that the American colonies would no longer be subject to King George III and his oppressive acts of taxation and intimidation. You know, I think it might be time to burn some more, or put some more tea in the harbor, so to speak. Little did these men know that their actions would change the course of world history. Think about it for a minute. If we don't win the War of Independence, there may not be an America to help fight in World War I and turn the tide of Nazi Germany in World War II.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God's hand. You know George Washington? He had like multiple bullet holes in his coat, but nothing hit his body. He even spoke to one of the Indians who said, you know, we tried to kill you. We couldn't kill you. That's God's hand. Let me keep going here. Congress did not vote that day, but enlisted another Virginian, Thomas Jefferson. And they urged Thomas Jefferson to draft a declaration. And he did. And after several revisions, it was ready for signatures. 56 brave patriots on July 4, 1776, adopted the Declaration of Independence to form a new nation under God that would be known as the United States of America.
Amen.
This new experiment of individual freedom and liberty and human rights through a representative government was unheard of. Ultimately, at great cost, the colonies won their freedom in 1783, and the American experiment was underway. See, up until America, there was no government by the people, for the people. All governments were tyrants. They were kings. And the people served the king. The king did not serve the people. They built America on what is called inalienable rights. Inalienable rights are rights that are bestowed on an individual, not by government, not by law, not by custom, not by tradition. But an inalienable right is a right that is bestowed upon a human being by God and God alone.
Amen.
And they came to the conclusion that the inalienable rights of all humans were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If independence from British rule were achieved, upon what principles of law and government would the Constitution be formed? Well, that's pretty easy to answer. These answers had already been adopted, and its principles interwoven into the charters of the 13 colonies. Each of the 13 original colonies had their own charters to govern that colony. And those colonies were built on the laws of Moses, the Word of God.
Amen.
Our seventh president, for a cinnamon candy, who can name our seventh president? I'll give you a hint. He's on a $20 bill.
Monroe.
Andrew Jackson. That was close. At least you tried, Jackie. Might give her a cinnamon candy.
No.
Our seventh president, now listen to what he said. Our seventh president, Andrew Jackson, said concerning the Bible, he said, "That book, sir, is the rock upon which our republic rests." There is no book more powerful than the Bible to shape the morals and values of men and nations. It has proven itself over and over again in the formation and the continuation of the greatest nation in history, the United States of America. Our founding fathers gave us documents, the Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and others. They had to lean upon a common understanding of law, government, social order, and morality that sprang from our Judaic Christian heritage that is found only in the biblical text. Whether each was a Christian is not the issue. Their writings, their statements, and their votes evidence the fact that the majority of them embraced these great principles as the basis for a civilized nation.
Amen.
Principle number one, that's what I want to talk to you about today. Principle number one is the dignity of life Think about life for a minute. Think about your life. Your life is a gift from God. Now, some people in your household might not think you're a gift from God. Depending on how you act and carry on when you don't get your way, okay? But your life is a gift of God. We got up this morning. How old are you, Aunt Irma? 90?
Well, Aunt December will be 96.
Aunt Irma will be 96 in December. 96 years she's been a gift from God. Amen. Our life is a gift from God. We got up this morning. We had breath. Did all your pipes work this morning? Yeah. See, that's all a gift from God. Life is a gift from God. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. We'll try to hurry here. I think I got you all convinced. I won't have to use all these scriptures about life. I can get to the heart of my message. I'm still on the foundation. Somebody said, oh, Lord, help us. Jeremiah chapter 1. Let's read verse 4. Then the word of the Lord. This is page 959. Got a Bible like mine. 959. Then the word of the Lord, Yahweh, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Another scripture says that I formed you in the womb. Amen. So we believe as Christians, life begins at the moment of conception when God quickens that womb with the Spirit that He foreknew, and God is forming that child in the womb of that mama. God created man in His own image. Male and female, He created them. Now, let's jump over to Genesis 9. Genesis 9. This is important. Amen. Verse 1. We'll start in verse 1. Oh, God blessed Noah. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. There you go, all you tree huggers and anti-hunters. Okay, just thought I'd throw that one in. It's getting close to hunting season. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. God says, don't eat any blood. Why? Because though they drank blood as a offering to pagan gods. Okay? Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast. I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. I want to read verse 6 again. Whoever sheds man's blood, by his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. In other words, God said, if you murder somebody, the death penalty will be upon you. Okay? Why? Because you are destroying the image of God. Now, I didn't plan to go here. I was going to do this later on in a few weeks. But we have what is called the Second Amendment. That there's a lot of politicians out there saying that they would abolish the Second Amendment. But you know what? God gave us life. It is a gift from Him. If someone murders someone, then their life is required. And I think the Second Amendment is given to us in order that we can protect life. Amen. Because we have been given a right to life. Amen. Oh. Well, if you're pro-life, that was a good commercial. I didn't. Right to life. All right. Now, in Exodus 23:7, the Bible gives us clear message. Not to harm the innocent. Okay? All right. Now I want to go to Genesis 6 real quick. I'm trying to just hit the high marks. Now this is what brought judgment on the earth. Okay? This is what brought judgment on the earth. It says in verse 5 of Genesis 6, page 13. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now jump down to verse 9, or verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Violence, the corruption of the earth, the lack of dignity or sanctity of life, brought God's judgment upon the earth. Somebody say amen or oh me. I just read it to you out of the text. In New York, I got this from the Wall Street Journal. I'm not saying they're always right. Okay, but they're kind of middle of the road at times, you know. Shooting victims were up 81% since January 1 compared to 2019. Shooting incidents was up 76% in the same time frame. 237 murders since January 1 to August this year. That's up 31% from 2019. The problem is getting worse. In a four-week period ending on August 2nd, shootings were up 201% compared to 2019. The number of victims was up by 165%. And the murders were up 50% from a year ago. Let me keep going here. I got a place I'm headed. Chicago has seen a 139% jump in murders compared to 2019. There was 105 murders in July alone, compared to 44 murders in July of 2019. There was 406 shooting incidents in July. That's a 75% increase. There were 573 people were shot in July. 573 were shot. Out of that number, there were 58 juveniles. On July 4th weekend in Chicago, 79 people were shot. Wow. Violence. Violence would bring God's judgment. See, the problem is, when you won't enforce the laws of the land, you don't care about life. But generally, those are the same people that, according to the World Health Organization, who there are between 40 and 50 million abortions per year. That's 125,000 per day. There is a lack of respect for the sanctity of life. That means there's a lack of respect and awe for the God of life. Amen. El Kayah, the God of life. Amen. So, with that said, I want you to turn to Joshua. I'm going back to my crossroads. Joshua. We were talking to a young couple last night. They're going to have a baby. They were talking about names. And the young lady said her dad liked Caleb Joshua. I said, that's a good name. Caleb, Joshua. Them two guys went in and spied out the land. They're the only two out of the 12 that said, hey, we're well able. Let's go. Well, God's for us. Let's go in there. Who could be against us? So here, verse 14. The children of Israel are at a crossroads. 24. You guys always sweating the small stuff. Page 308. Moses has went on. Moses has departed. And now the children of Israel are at a crossroads. Are you going to serve God? Or are you going to go back and serve the gods that your fathers left in Egypt? It says in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you people that are watching. You serve God. Everything you do ought to be done for the glory of God. When you go to vote in November, your voting should be serving God. You need to look at the candidates. You need to look at what they stand for, and you need to vote your moral conscience. Amen. And in doing so, you'll still be serving God. Amen. You don't vote for a candidate because you might get something out of it. That's always the downfall of democracies throughout history. Whenever the electorate figure out, hey, my vote's worth something. My name's Jimmy. I'll take all you'll give me. You know. Huh? Just saying. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. I'll probably camp out here just for a little bit. 1 Kings, chapter 18. You should have already known where I was going. First Kings, verse, let's go to 15. I better stand still. I started to take a walk, but that camera's locked in. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel. Or 15, that's not it, 15. Chapter 18 of 1 Kings, page 469, verse 15. When Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals, the false gods. See, a lot of the trouble that's going on in America are coming from the people who have left the commandments of God. Amen. They've been influenced by principalities and powers of the air, spiritual wickedness in high places. They've forsaken the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Now, I don't really want to read this whole thing. We'll keep going. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. You know what? It's time that America, we gathered at Mount Carmel. We're going to make a statement come November 3rd. We're going to be choosing the gods of Baal, or we're going to choose the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I keep wanting to walk. And we keep going. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, Yahweh, Yudevave, is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. And then he tells them, you go get you a bull. You lay it on the wood, okay? And you just do whatever it takes to call down Baal to consume that sacrifice. Now, let's jump down to verse 29. And when midday was past, I mean, they cut themselves, they weep, they dance, nothing happened. Then Elijah said to all the people, verse 29, I skipped that. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him. And I want you to look at what he tells them. And he repaired the altar of Yahweh that was broken down. Do you know what America needs to do? We need to come near to God, and we need to rebuild the altar that is in our home. In Jewish tradition, the table was the altar of God. The table was where you taught your children. The table was where the family prayed together. The table was where they ate their meals together. Amen. And it was at that altar of God that young people, children, were infused with the knowledge and the understanding of God Almighty. Amen. We have failed a generation and maybe two. Amen. Of teaching them about God. All right, let me keep going. So he repaired the altar, right? And then it says, and Elijah, of course, you know the story. He takes 12 stones, he gets a bowl, he pours water all over that thing. In verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. I think he means business. Let's keep reading. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of an abundance of rain. I think Ahab said, what? A sound of what? You know how long it's been since it's rained here? So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain, so Ahab rode away and went to Jezebel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. We need to rebuild our altars in our home. We need to be able to spend time with God to where we can pull down fire that purifies this nation. Amen. That same fire. You remember John the Baptist said, hey, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me whose sandals I'm not worthy to lace up. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Fire is a purifying agent. Fire is a source of judgment. But I think fire is also the mercy of God, because instead of the Holy Ghost fire destroying, the Holy Ghost fire purifies. The Holy Ghost fire draws men's hearts to a place that they make Jesus Christ Lord. The Holy Ghost fire pulls an addict to God that will set him free forever and ever. That Holy Ghost fire will pull the drunk to God that will set him free. Yes. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're at a crossroads. Yes. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now, my job as a pastor is to equip you. But if you ignore me, then I'm going somewhere else. Not till God tells me. But how many of you got one of these? How many of you got one that you know where it's at? How many of you have used it in the last week? Let me show you something on page 15. Page 15, this is part of the Amidah. Amidah means standing. Jews read the Amidah, they put their prayer shawl on, you see them rocking back and forth. There's a word for them rocking, but you know why they rock? Keeps them awake and alert. You thought it was some spiritual, woo. On page 15, the fourth one in the Amidah prayer says, you graciously endow man with intelligence. You teach him knowledge and understanding. Grant us knowledge, discernment, and wisdom. Praised are you, O Lord, who welcomes repentance. Notice it says, you graciously endow man with intelligence. You teach him knowledge and understanding. Oh God, for those in America who have no knowledge or have no understanding of you, show them your knowledge. Send a laborer across their path. Huh? That's a pretty good prayer for America, I would say. God, for those young people who have no understanding of the biblical foundation of this nation, give them understanding and knowledge. But see, that's not going to happen until you rebuild your altar and you're praying this prayer for America. Then number five, there's three of them right here on page 15. Our Father, bring us back to your Torah, your laws, your commands. Bring America back to your word, God. Bring us back to your statutes, your precepts, and your commands. Our King, draw us near to your service. Lead us back to you truly repentant. Praised are you, O Lord, who welcomes repentance. God welcomes repentance. One rabbi wrote a book called The Gates of Repentance. And it's a hard book to read. But it's like panning for gold. You pan for days and all of a sudden there's a nugget. Repentance is a gift from God. Amen. We're in the time of Teshuvah, which is the Hebrew word for repentance. 30 days leading up to Yom Terah, the blowing of the trumpets. Some people call it Rosh Hashanah. But it's Yom Terah, the blowing of the trumpets. 30 days. In 30 days, right now, we're on a fast, the Daniel fast. We started it Wednesday, in case you forgot, and you still jump in. What I wouldn't give for some red meat right now, it's only been, what, 5 days? Chicken and tuna. Tuna chicken, grilled chicken, not fried. Not the kernels. What? Oh, yeah, eat all the eggs you want, man. Whatever God leads you to do. What I'm doing, what Jackie's doing, might be different. Used to be, one of the big things I fasted was ESPN. I could fast that now, except there ain't no sports on TV, so it wouldn't be a big deal, would it? So, let me keep going. Bring us back to your Torah. We can pray for America. God, bring us back to your word, your statutes, your precepts. The sixth one. Our Father, forgive us, for we have sinned. Our King, pardon us, for we have transgressed. You know the prophets, when they prayed for the nations, they prayed, Father, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us for aborting almost 70 million babies. You forgive sin and pardon transgression. Praised are you, gracious and forgiving Lord. Then if we go over here, number seven, you can apply almost every one of these to America. Behold our affliction. Deliver us. Redeem us soon for the sake of your name. For you are the mighty Redeemer. Praised are you, O Lord, Redeemer of Israel, both Jew and Gentile. You know, we have a lot of things afflicting us. We have globalism, communism, radical Islam that afflicts America, along with the coronavirus. Although I'd still got a feeling it's going to go away after Election Day. But that's just a thought I have. Then if you get to number eight, it says, heal us, O Lord, and we shall be healed. How many of you know our nation's in need of healing?
Amen.
Amen. So my point is, you can go down through all these and apply them to America. There's one more I want to read you, and then I'm going to close after communion. And he's long-winded today. Well, I was short-winded last week, so. Good news is, I won't charge you extra. Back in the back, on page 29, there's a little subtitle that says, God's plan includes me. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Sure it does. Sure it includes you, but you got to get involved.
Amen.
You got to pray. You got to seek God.
Amen.
You got to rejoice. You got to tell people that God is good. God's amazing.
Yes.
Amen. It says, Father God, it was for such a time as this that I have come into your kingdom. Do you believe that about yourself?
Amen.
You should. You should.
Change my life.
Amen. If I die, I die, for my life is but a gift from you and is not my own. Place your mighty hand upon me to be a Mordecai that helps the Esthers, to be a forerunner voice crying in the wilderness. Let a people arise who will cry out for the destiny of Israel and intercede effectively for your purposes in the Middle East. And after I pray that, I pray it this way. Let a people arise who will cry out for the destiny of the United States of America and intercede effectively for your purposes in my nation.
Amen.
Then it says, as for me and my house, I want to be possessed by you for your purposes. Come, Lord, and do this for your name's sake, that you may receive the reward of your suffering on behalf of all the Jews and Gentiles alike. I dedicate myself into your grace and for your purposes. Amen, amen. Are you willing this morning to dedicate yourself to pray for this nation for the next, 78 days, somebody said? I don't know. Something like that. Amen. We are God's army.
Amen.
Amen. We link up with God.
Amen.
I want to see revival so bad. A lot more than I'd like a fried chicken breast from Kentucky Fried Chicken right now. Or a ribeye from the Roadhouse. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, Deb. It's me and you serve him today. You go here, I'll go there. God is good. Amen. I'm going to hold it down lower for you. You're welcome. Pass one back to her, would you?